Because it just know how to be calm, or it is aware of moment that is calm, that is wholesome, that's good. But it cannot develop higher understanding. That is not self, which is calm at that moment. It's just a reality which is calm. Meditation cannot be done without any understanding. There must be right understanding of the development of calmness, and there must be right understanding of the development of insight in order to develop those developments.
But understanding the development of awareness, then the usual techniques of being aware
of what?
Of
what?
Of breath, please.
Of?
Of one's breath.
Focusing on it.
Would develop.
Excuse me. Right understanding begins from the very beginning of why does one want to concentrate on breath? Is there any reason?
In order to eliminate suffering.
In order to eliminate the
suffering? That's not the immediate reason, but the motivating factor.
What is suffering? Is breath suffering?
Sorry?
What is suffering?
Mental world.
When and where?
Not having, not experiencing what one wishes to.
Yes. When one says, is breath suffering?
Right.
Is it suffering?
Right.
So how can one eradicate suffering while one is concentrating on breath when breath is not suffering?
By increasing my understanding.
Yes.
By increasing one's ability to be aware and then to understand.
To understand breath, or to understand suffering, or to understand breath as suffering.
To understand how suffering arises.
Is breath suffering? I think it is, in the sense that it cannot stay. It arises and falls away. That's the meaning of suffering. Can breath stay?
It's never bothered me,
it doesn't. So it's my breath.
Sorry.
It's your breath. Or breath is breath, which is conditioned, arising and falling away. It's not permanent.
It's never been a problem. It would not motivate me to meditate.
Yeah, but when we talk about the Four Noble Truths, the suffering, the truth of suffering, the meaning of the truth of suffering is the impermanency of any conditioned reality which arises and falls away. If one does not see breath as suffering, one clings to it as my breath, my body, it belongs to me. But breath is not permanent, and that's the meaning of the first truth. Anything which is conditioned is not permanent. It doesn't mean that pain is suffering, but it means any conditioned reality which arises and falls away. It's suffering in the sense it's not permanent. Because what one likes, one wants it to stay as long as one likes. We would like our body to stay as it is, as long as one is attached to it. So the characteristic which is not permanent cannot be said that it's sukha, happy, or pleasant, because it's not permanent. Nobody likes what one like to be not permanent. But in reality, nothing is permanent.
So, is it not the attachment that causes suffering?
Attachment itself is not permanent either. It's only a conditioned reality. This is the way to be able to eradicate the idea of self from all realities which are conditioned, appearing and disappearing, arising and following all the time, from moment to moment. Life exists only in a moment, just one moment at a time. But when there is no direct experiencing of the demarcation of the arising and falling away of each moment, how can one have such understanding that there is no self? A moment is conditioned, arising and passing away. Where is the self? Seeing is just one moment. Hearing is just another moment. Thinking is another moment. Conditioned, passing all the time. And this is the meaning of suffering. Not permanent. When there is no understanding of this moment as it is, as whether it's calm or not calm, there is no way to develop moral calmness because there is no awareness of this moment yet. At moment of understanding reality, it's calm because there is no attachment, no aversion, no ignorance. If there is no awareness of this moment that is different from other moments, which is moment of attachment and moment of aversion, then there cannot be more karma, no development of more or higher karma. So even the development of karma need awareness and right understanding. That's why it's not the intention to concentrate, but it must be the development of right understanding at level of developing calmness or at level of developing right understanding of reality which appears as not self. Not just concentration or concentrating on one object. So it depends on one's purpose, no matter one concentrates on this or that object. For example, if one concentrates on breath, it depends on one's purpose, what for and why does one concentrate on it? Why does one choose that object, not other objects? There must be reason and right understanding of any practice that is right practice. What is it then? It's there or it's here, but what is it in reality, in the absolute sense, so that one can say that it's not self? It must be something when it's not self. What is it then? If one just say that it's not self, but one does not know what is it, then it's not any understanding of not self yet. It's like when we talk about wholesomeness and unwholesomeness without awareness of this moment. We can talk about moment with non-attachment, non-aversion. The characteristic of that moment with non-attachment, the characteristic of moment of non-aversion. But what about this moment? It's not in the book, it's here. If there is no awareness, we just talk about conception, the concept of non-attachment and non-aversion, but no understanding of non-attachment when it arises, and no non-aversion when it arises. But non-aversion and non-attachment can arise when they arise without moment of awareness of them. How can there be right understanding of them? That's why there should be the development of awareness of reality which appears in order to develop higher level of kusala, at level of samatha, tranquility, calmness, or at level of vipassana, insight. When there's no direct awareness, it's only concept about kusala or wholesomeness. But when there is awareness of wholesome moment, it's not in the book, it's not just concept, because there is awareness of that characteristic which appears, the characteristic of non-self, non-attachment appears, or the characteristic of non-aversion appears when there is loving-kindness at that very moment. That's why they can be developed when there is more understanding of them, with direct awareness of them. But when there is no direct awareness of them, they are in the book. Nowhere to develop. That's why the right understanding of the characteristic of right awareness is very important. We can talk about lobha attachment a lot, many pages on lobha. But what about this moment? Any degree of lobha or none? If there is no awareness, no way to understand lobha when lobha arises. This moment is lobha or dosa or kusala. When there is no awareness, it's just in the book. The way to experience them is only developing awareness of them. The question should be, can rest the object of attachment? One knows that anything can be object of attachment when there is no right understanding of them.
If it has no pleasant aspect, are we likely to have attachment to it?
Even when it's a neutral feeling, upekkha, it can be object of attachment.
Yes, but why would one be attached to something like birth, which is
just what? My breath. It's mine. One is attached to everything which belongs to me. My hair, my finger, my nails,
breath. I can see that we could be attached to breath if we were about to lose it. But ordinarily speaking, it's not something that we take any pride about, like hair or skin. We worry about how it looks or whatever.
Alright. Is there any attachment to a glass here?
Well, if it's got something nice to drink in it.
It's not my glass. But is there any attachment? great.
I could take it or leave it.
You could, but not at the moment of seeing. We cannot stop the flux of attachment when there is no awareness, no understanding.
But why would that attachment have been developed? Because why would we develop attachment about an object that we have no particular...
You always like to see something all the time, no matter whatever it is. You just want to see, to experience.
Suppose there's a nicer looking glass over there.
Then lobha is stronger.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that there's no lobha at all when this glass is experienced. There is, at a level, at a degree, which is not as strong as that higher one, or stronger one. We don't mind whatever it is, but it can be seen. And one is attached to the object, which can be seen.
If it was an ugly glass.
Better than not seeing anything at all, maybe. Just want to see, wanting to experience visible objects. Sorry to be blind. Not seeing anything.
Comfort feeler who sits here with his eyes closed or
he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to lose his seeing. But he knows that he will see when he opens his eyes. So he doesn't lose it yet. Want to see, one has a version of seeing. It doesn't mean that one has right understanding of seeing as not I who see. It's only a reality which experiences visible objects. Why worry about it?
What would be the characteristic of right understanding?
It understands. Whenever it arises, it understands. Anything according to its level.
And anything that I see is an object
of seeing.
And also what we do have, I can be attached to it or have a version to it.
When the feeling is not unpleasant, it must be attachment.
And if it is unpleasant, it's a version. And if it's a neutral feeling, it's a neutral too.
It's attachment as well.
Okay, my conventional understanding then,
when
I think of ignoring the glass,
like
it doesn't matter to me whether it's there
as
or
not. As long as you don't mind seeing, it indicates that there is attachment to seeing. As long as you don't want to lose it, it indicates that there is some degree of attachment.
So when you say that, that means that if I totally ignore that or close my eyes, then I've lost it. It's no longer an object of sight. So then it's no longer an object of attachment.
It can be. You long for it.
Oh, even if it's not within my vision. Okay, then what is arising if I long for it?
Maybe then next life you can see.
Excuse me? What?
You mean for a blind person? Who?
If she longs for the object. Well, you said...
For the object or for seeing?
Because... if I long to see the object and it's no longer, then
it's attachment to seeing, wishing, wanting, clinging. Desiring.
Okay, if I can't see it, and I long to see it, what is arising?
Attachment.
Okay, attachment to the seeing, not to the object.
Both.
Mm. But I'm still having a lot of trouble with the mental factors arising from the mind. And you get time to discover a little bit of that. What arises when I think of that? There was memory of what I had seen before.
But attachment.
That creates my attachment.
Attachment thing. Not you who think.
Okay, attachment
thing. Or sometimes aversion thing. When it's unpleasant thought. Not always, just one moment of memory of one object at a time. One memory of one object at a time.
Okay, so can we back up, because I'm not sure where we are with memory, but can we stick to memory now? I remember my childhood, for instance. Okay. Now that's what happened.
A moment of thinking with memory.
A moment of thinking with memory.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm seeing a whole spectrum of impressions.
Many moments of memory. But just one memory at a time of one object. And the experiencing is just in a moment only. A moment of seeing is not the moment of hearing.
Right.
Not the moment of thinking.
Right.
Not the moment of seeing. So at this moment of seeing and thinking, it's just one moment of seeing and one moment of thinking.
Okay, so in that one moment of thinking, I have the whole range of, let's say, 50 years?
Long moments. Many moments.
Many moments.
To mind of.
Okay, so then each
seconds moment.
In memory, each moment arising in memory, the memory constituent.
Memory arises each moment.
Okay, memory arises each moment. And what is remembered is like each moment now. Each moment that has arisen and passed away. It's just that there's such a multitude of them that makes it continue.
But there must be the arising of one moment at a time. But there are many mental factors arising together.
Like what?
Simultaneously, like feeling and memory and thinking and attachment or aversion and ignorance or right understanding.
What is memory?
It remembers, it marks the characteristic of the object which is experienced.
Then it's there somewhere.
It arises and falls
through. Where is it coming from?
It's conditioned by previous accumulation of memory.
Which what is memory?
Each moment of experiencing is accumulated and conditions the next moment in the future moment.
Okay, well what happens to it? I can see it as an ongoing conditioning. So where is memory?
When we talk about mental reality, we cannot see it, we cannot hear it, but it's there. Absolutely mental. If one cannot experience it as visual object or sound.
All right, but if you mean, it seems like a constant thing that still exists because I can go back and get it again.
It's only a moment of thinking, and then seeing, and then hearing, and then thinking. Can you go back to yesterday experience?
Yes. For my memory, in my memory, yes. I can recapture, I can remember.
If that memory does not arise, if it thinks about future, then you don't think that you can go back to yesterday experience. But in reality, yesterday is yesterday. When memory arises and thinking about yesterday, what about when it thinks about future? No yesterday at that moment of thinking of future.
Okay.
So where is yesterday then? Yesterday is completely gone.
Until I want to, or until memory arises.
Right. Until memory thinks or remembers it.
Okay, then that part. So far, okay, I've got a little bit of that. But now, if memory arises again,
it can think of anything, present, past, and future. Thinking about of tomorrow, what you will do.
Oh.
You will put an apple in a jar or something like that.
Yeah, like
tomorrow, you'll go to market or to buy things.
Yeah.
Can you imagine yourself doing something tomorrow?
Yes.
What is it that can form the picture of you doing something tomorrow?
I don't know, that's where I'm lost. But if I just simply memory anticipate tomorrow.
If you...
Now, is that the memory on the continuum that anticipates tomorrow?
If you had never seen yourself, for example, could you picture yourself doing something? Could you picture yourself doing something tomorrow?
If I had never seen myself in a blindfold,
I was blind. That's true. Or you've never seen yourself in a, you've never seen your reflection.
I see memory as remembering an incident that has occurred previously. That's the same.
And memory to you does not function as regards to the future.
I don't know, I had never thought about what the future. I've had enough trouble with memory in the past. I haven't gotten that far. I'm thinking about memory in the past all this week in anticipation of that scene, but I just made no connection with what anticipation of the future meant. I'm still at step A.
If memory to us means it's only concerned with remembering the past, maybe it indicates that what we conceive to be memory or how we understand memory is not memory in a Dhamma, because memory arises at each moment. And when one thinks of the future, there is also memory.
What's arising along with it? Feeling,
what is the best term for sannyasa paticca in English?
I think perceiving would help the translation of perceiving here, or the marking the object.
There is no one word for sannyasa paticca.
Normally translated as perception.
Perception. Is perception the same as memory?
No. In doubt? I mean, the two words in English don't mean the same thing.
Usually when we think of memory, don't we have an idea of time also? A sequence of events, relating things?
Good, sure.
And what do we mean when we say perception? Do you get the same idea of relating it to time? Perceive something is perhaps just to mark it now, in the present.
Perhaps that's a defined memory. A perception of the event would be closer to, if I had to decide, if it was a feeling or a memory, it would be closer to feeling.
What is this?
A glass.
What makes you take it for a glass?
Well, literally, memory that I or perception that I guess memory makes me think of it. I don't know this terminology. That's why I'm asking. I really don't know. I mean, if you would tell me, it would help. But questioning me won't help.
At moment of marking or taking for something, that's the function of what we call sannyacetasika in Pali, but I don't know the right word or right term for it in English. But that which knows or remember or marking, so it recognizes the object as something. It remembers, it marks, or it recognizes.
What in English we would call perception and memory? All right, then I understand.
So we better use the Pali term, sanya.
Sanya.
Sanya jetasika.
Sanya jetasika.
Okay. Now, can you see how sanya arises from when things from the future come to you?
Because of events that I know about, in order to anticipate, I have to be aware of. Okay, alright, I think I know what you mean.
The rise of the thinking and marking and perceiving the what I was thinking about.
It might be helpful to say that memory is, in fact, many, many moments of perception. Old stories about things. There's not just one moment of perception, or there's not just one moment of memory. Usually, we think of things. We think about what we did yesterday and we make a story about it. There's many, many moments of sanya, many, many moments of perception for us to recall what we did yesterday. It seems like there's a difference in thought of it. Thinking of the future is more authentic. You can create any number of them, but there's only one objective policy. And all you may remember incorrectly or incompletely, but if memory functions, usually people would agree there's an objective to the past. Just one. Like in a courtroom when there's 20 witnesses all trying to remember what happened. it converges on one score. But that's not true of the future.
It doesn't mean that future has to be like one imagines, but it means that at that moment there can be the imagination of what one takes for future, not of present and past. One can dream about future days, and one at that moment thinks that it's not present, it's not past, it's future.
You're saying that in the mental picture, what one perceives is of the same quality, whether it be of the past or the future.
It's that sanya cetasika, which has such a memory of those events in the past that will occur in the present, in that form or in that imaginary.
Imaginary. That happens less for me because now I'm lost again. Because I think of imagination, something I don't remember, something maybe that never happened to me, I can anticipate in the future or dream about. But it never happened. I mean, it's something I think I am creating.
New.
Where does imagination come into it?
New object?
Yeah.
But there must be only objects of six doorways, not the seven, not the eight.
Right. But I have never experienced it.
So they're the combination of the six objects.
A random combination? You mean somehow it's being created?
When
the new object, is this a pattern or a reason?
When one invents new kind of object, like smell or taste or color,
yes,
they are only the mixture or the combination of the six doorways, thinking of different.
By accident or conditioning?
By conditions.
Is that like a karma or a...
The accumulation of different experiences.
Yeah. All right. But now, is every citta that has ever arisen in my aggregate still existing in the sense that it can be recaptured as memory?
Okay. Completely gone.
Completely gone.
But it conditions the next moment.
Okay.
So the next moment has the accumulation of the preceding one. From one to one, from one to one.
Oh, okay. That's going back to like my DNA physical analysis. Okay. So now in physics, I can understand the DNA. I can understand a little bit. DNA and how we can replicate people because each cell contains everything, all the information to create a new body in each cell. Now using that, I can understand what you are saying. I don't understand it all, but I have a theory. Oh, okay. Boy, that's been a real toughie for a long time. On the right track.
But, each moment contains all of the past.
Sure.
But it's different from the past moment.
Right.
Because it's newly arisen.
Right, and it's conditioned by whatever else has arisen at this time. Oh, good. Okay. What arises is dependent in this sphere on the body, on the mind and body. Right? I mean, this is as we know nature here at this level of living. When the body dies, and people talk about you existing on another plane. Now, I can understand everything being conditioned, and if there is something that goes on to another plane, it can't be what I remember because of my body on this plane. What goes on? I don't mean any rebirth. If there is no rebirth, and you go to another plane.
If there is no rebirth, who will go to another plane? Who can go?
I'm talking about devas and brigos and ghosts and celestial beings. Does everyone get reborn?
Must rebirth be the same plane? In the same plane? Or on the same plane?
You mean it's a rebirth to a celestial plane? Then whoever, whatever goes on, the chitta of this aggregate that goes on is changing constantly.
If there is no arising of chitta, chetasika and rupa, there is no rebirth.
Rupa too?
Chitta, chetasika and rupa. In the five khandhas plane, five aggregates plane, there must be chitta, chetasika and rupa arising.
Okay, that would be the worldly plane.
What we conventionally call rebirth is the arising of chitta, chetasika and rupa.
Do you need that on the celestial plane too? Is there a rupa on the celestial plane?
There are 31 planes of existence. Only 4 planes have no form or body at all.
Only 4 have rupa.
Mm. Only 4 have no rupa.
Oh, only 4 have no. When people say they make contact with the devas and they see them in their mind's eye,
if there is no rupa, what is seen?
I don't know. They will see an impression of what they remember.
Remembering is not seeing.
Okay,
seeing is the moment of experiencing visual objects. And visual object is a kind of rupa.
Well, what happens when the medium contacts the deva?
True or false?
True.
By superpower or by thinking or concentration? Or accident?
Let's take each one of those. Okay, I'd sure like to understand all of them. Because I'm still very skeptical about contacting devas.
Suppose one says that I see a deva. Do you really believe that that person sees a deva?
No, I don't at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I know people, but something is happening to them when they say they see a deva. And I don't know if their imagination, but something is going on. But I am not advanced enough to understand that part yet. Do you think they do, some of them?
It depends on conditions.
Oh, well then if it's possible.
But the conditions not very easy.
Okay,
it's very difficult.
If it is possible though.
Possible, but very rare and very difficult.
But it couldn't be the same thing that was here on Earth. Because everything is changing, right? And when they say they see, or if it's possible, to see a deva, what could they possibly see that hasn't changed beyond the comprehension of a mortal?
Is human being are changing?
Yes.
So a deva is also changing?
Yes. No? I think so. I would think so. Everything we are learning, everything we believe is that everything is changing. And that makes sense. But it doesn't make sense to think that there's going to be another plane where nothing changes and then you recognize those people up there.
This world is called sensual plants, our world of our sensual beings. We have five senses.
Right.
And the creta and the hell world and the animal, which we can see, also have these five senses. So they live in a world similar to us, with the eye and the ear, except for the objects that are more unpleasant than in the human world. And likewise, above the human world, there are six deva worlds, which are also where the beings also have five senses. But it only differs from the human world by the presentness of the object.
Right, but they have to constantly change. But if I didn't see someone in 30 years, I'm not going to recognize that person. Then how do these people who talk to David recognize him? How do they know who it is? Because there can't be any self in the Deva world if there is no self in this world.
The human body changes faster than this table. So the Deva does not change like human being. But the Deva's rupa is conditioned. It cannot stay. It arises and falls away as well. The eye sense arises and falls away in split seconds. The ear sense is the same in this world. So it's the same in Deva world.
But if there's any communication between the two worlds, if we have no object arising through the eye door, is it coming through the mind door? And is it imaginary? How are we knowing a day? If it can't come into any door.
No way.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
There are no.
There must be divine eyes, clairvoyance, in order to experience Deva, not the human being eyes.
What are you saying?
In the Tipitaka, the right course for experiencing the other world.
Is that a seventh sense?
No.
We know that our ears can only experience a certain frequency of sound, but that other animals, for example, can experience sounds of different frequencies.
Right, they're still coming through the ear door.
So if something is seen, it must be through the eye door.
Different qualities of the eye sense.
But the eye sense, I don't know if it's true or not, but it may be that the eye sense also has a certain range of frequency.
Yeah, I believe that because I have seen many strange people see something that's not visible to me, but that is not another world in something in this world. Because of the spectrum of visible light, I mean, we know about laser beams. But I'm talking about seeing a being whose body has died, and who perhaps is still existing on another plane. Are you saying that comes in for the idea?
Well, if there was, taking an analogy, if there was someone who could hear the sounds that animals hear,
mm-hmm.
would you think that came in through any door other than the ear?
No, I think that comes in through the ear door, and that's something that we know exists. I know I can prove it, that sound is there by its vibration. And I can prove that some people can be blindfolded and read. I believe that there is a spectrum of light that is not, that is beyond what we see. But that's within this physical world. Physics has explanations, or is on the verge of things, but it's conceivable because it's within this world. It's not something supernatural. But a bodily death now takes you out of the realm of what is known in this world and puts you on another plane. Now, I believe in something hereafter. I don't know what you know. I certainly think that it's possible. But I still think now that's not going to be something that, you know, the spirit may be right here necessarily because of a I got myself in a trap because of the time and space dimension, which is not necessary.
There could be sounds right now that we can't hear.
Well, there are.
There could be visible objects right now that we can't see.
Yes, there are.
So if one says he can see, if one says he can hear the sounds that we can't hear, or see the sounds that we can't see, then I suppose we could say that his ear sense and eye sense are typically developed on our own.
Right.
For whatever reason, he doesn't know that. Because animals can hear sounds that we can't hear, we don't ascribe to them in this fashion.
I've read an explanation of such things that I haven't experienced it, but if it's of any interest, that human beings also, I don't know if this is in the photograph, have as well as a physical body, a life body. In Chinese it's qi, and also an astral body, which is of the nature of emotions. And their organization and their substance is totally different than physical. And there are, according to sources that claim to know this, they have latent sense organs in them, which in general are not developed. But either under special circumstances or through training, can be developed to perceive objects on their own substance level, just as the physical senses perceive physical objects.
What about those who say they can see Davis?
They can see Davis?
Hmm.
Wise people, and that's what I'm still investigating. That's why I'm asking about this, because I know something exists. Because of the people that I've encountered who have had direct experiences that they have shared with me. I know there is something there, but I still am very skeptical about what it is. Because I still am convinced that if everything rises and passes, then it's got to change so very much from one plane to another that there would be lack of recognition. The memory part, you have to think of this now. It's a memory. Does the memory cross over in the rebirth? Is that part of it?
Memory?
Yeah. Does that arise in the rebirth?
This moment, memory has fallen away and it conditions the next one.
So in the rebirth chip, memory is part of that?
That person can remember if he's a deva but the other may not recognize him because the rupa of the deva is different from the rupa of human beings.